I'd like to call Congress back to order. We are on third reading. Reports of select committees. Congresswoman Edwards.
The Rules, Ethics, and Congressment Committee met several times on ONCR 1719, which is a resolution to support the Osage Nation participation in the BIA Office of Justice Services Court Assessment Program. Sponsor is Angela Pratt. Final committee actions do pass as properly engrossed with yes votes from Edwards, Buffalo, Fetter, and Massey.
Which number is for
19.
Yes, it should be 1719.
I don't know.
1719. Okay. ONCA 1726. ONCA 1753. An act to authorize and appropriate $125,000 to the Capital Asset and Improvement Fund for the listed capital asset and improvement projects and to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor is Ron Shaw. How do you wish to proceed?
I will slide my time.
Okay, you have the floor.
ONCA 1753.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Not that far ago. As you recall, in ONCA 1658, the Capital Asset Improvement Act was repealed and replaced. Some specific language was inserted or restated that included monies appropriated for any capital project may not be expended in excess of the original capital budget without additional approval of Congress. The project came in with the price tag, and there was X amount of money left after the project was completed. It couldn't just be spent down because there was extra money left over. Unused funds appropriated and authorized for a specific project shall revert back to the general fund of the Treasury upon completion of the original project. As you may recall, before that money stayed into the Capital Asset Improvement Fund, and since they had already been appropriated, the executive branch had exercised the right to be able to use those previously appropriated funds for other projects, including repairs, minor purchases, including the First National Bank building. But after 1658 was passed by this Congress, including a veto override, those monies now go back to the general fund of the Treasury, and this year $374,000 just earlier within the last 30 days was returned to the general treasury. Now, if the executive branch has those smaller miscellaneous projects, they come to the Congress for approval. That's what this represents. A list of projects was brought and discussed, and the original request was $238,000. That's since been reduced through committee process to $125,000. And if you'll allow me just to briefly take you through that list, we're talking about Hominy property acquisition and demolition with Hominy Wheeler playground and equipment. Apparently this property is adjacent to the existing Wheeler facility. There's dilapidated structures in the property which must be demolished, and then that lot must be graded, sodded, and fenced. VHS requirements included shaded play area, climbing structure, minimum square footage per child, and minimum amounts of equipment per child. So this is an enhancement as well as a compliance issue for the Hominy Wheeler program. Superintendent's House Engineering Analysis. As you know, the Superintendent's House is on the National Register of Historic Places. Before trying to determine whether or not a renovation project should be funded or looked at, there's a $10,000 request to look for the assessment of structural integrity. And other evaluations prior to further investment of $10,000. As you know, the First National Bank building is down there in a prime location, even more prime now that the mercantile has flourished. And so the executive branch is looking at best ways to use that building. At one time, it was automatically going to be office space, the whole thing. Now perhaps there are other uses for the ground floor part of that or other parts of that building. And so before trying to propose a project or architectural mechanical renderings, There's been a request to fund $32,000 for a best use analysis. In other words, taking into account the current economic condition of the downtown Pahuska area, what's the best use for that First National Bank building? There were estimates anywhere from $25,000 to $68,000, and ultimately the committee felt like $32,000 was a more reasonable number. That totals $125,000, and that's what's currently in the capital asset improvement, the capital asset improvement, this list listed in 1753. And so I ask you to now give approval for this list that has been culled down quite a bit, that represents monies that were returned to the Treasury from previously appropriated monies for other projects that did not quite extend the original appropriation. So I would urge you to vote yes for this, and your executive branch is following our law, so I think that it's very reasonable to consider this project list. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman. Would anyone else like to speak for or against this bill? Congresswoman Edwards?
Just a comment. This stage in the game, I think that we should tap into outside sources as much as possible to accomplish projects that we have. Included in this bill was a project that yesterday we heard can be covered by some federal funding. I think that we should tap into that federal funding to complete the project rather than utilize tribal resources for it. Same thing, I think, with demolishing a building that I have never heard that we have a single use for. Would have been my preference that we explore donating things that we have no use for, and not expending those kind of monies and continuing to potentially have liability for things that, as I hear, for example, with that building, we had to get in order to get the First National Bank building, all of which I will continue to express was never brought before the Congress, and I am unsure how we're purchasing property without Congress appropriating funds for it. Thank you.
Anyone else? Congressman Shaw.
I've left three items off the list without making comment. One is demolition of the former Black Gold restaurant, demolition, which was part of the First National Bank property purchase. It's an existing structure as a liability, and so the estimated cost for demolition is to clear the site for development, and the estimated cost for demolishing and haul off is $10,000. The Shadlow building in the Hominy Industrial Park would require some minor electrical repairs and a thorough inspection prior to putting it on the market for leasing. The estimated cost is $5,000. Lastly, as alluded to by Congressman Edwards, is for a fire alarm system in the tribal court. And there has been an assessment that that fire alarm system is non-functional. It's been evaluated, replacement has been recommended at the cost of $18,000. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Thank you, Congressman. The question is, shall ONCA 1753 pass?
Congresswoman Edwards.
No.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernaw.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
No.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Bufflohead.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. ONCA 1753 passes. There's an alternate effective date. Discussion. Congresswoman Edwards.
Is there a reason that it needs to have an alternate effective date? Can I ask the sponsor?
Yes. Congressman Shaw.
I would believe that the reason would be to get an earlier start, because the funds are available, whether they're sitting there longer in the general fund of the Treasury or not. I think it's just simply that these projects underway, particularly if you're going to retain a design group or an assessment. I don't know if there's a benefit to waiting.
Thank you. There's no more discussion. All those in favor of the alternate effective date signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay, the alternate effective date passes and ONCA 1753 is advanced to enrollment. ONC 1726. An act to establish an intergovernmental education fund and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Tillman is the sponsor. How do you wish to proceed?
Excuse me, by my time, please.
Okay, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and thank you, members of Congress. As we gather again today, I've been very thankful for the debate, conversations, input from the committee to members of Congress. You know, we talked about this intergovernmental education fund. The motivation has always been for me to help the public schools in Osage County. And you know, just this morning, the headlines in the news are of another funding cut that are coming to the public schools. They learned Wednesday that their monthly payment from the state of Oklahoma would be shortened by an additional $17.4 million, bringing the total reduction since January of this year to the public schools in Oklahoma at $87 million. We look at the public schools that we have here in the 13 public school systems that are in Osage County. We have some numbers. We have 673 Osage students that are currently attending these public schools. I spoke with two superintendents and a principal yesterday. And what we have going on here is affecting our students, your children. And it's happening now because what you have is a math teacher and a science teacher who are substitute teachers who are not competent math and science teachers and teaching out of a book. Open it up. Here it is. I'll do the best I can. Those were two instances that I learned about yesterday. That, to me, is a critical mass, where we have subjects being taught by non-competent teachers in hard subjects that our students are suffering from. That should be alarming. I hope it is to you. And we have learned that these cuts from the that are coming down from the state, they also affect charter schools. They also affect school districts, small school districts, with what they're going to be going through as far as the monthly cut that they're going through now. Tulsa Charter School is going to be cut $21,000 this year, this month. Tulsa Charter Kip School, $34,000 this month. You have Discovery Schools in Tulsa, $100,000 that are being cut. Our superintendents and our principals in Osage County are terrified of what's going to happen in the future, and so am I. So the intent of this was to help the public schools, which in turn help all students, which in turn help Osage students. We started off with a three-year average of the tax commission receipts, which one amount we had was 10%, which was roughly $249,000 divided by the 673 students in their respective schools. Presented the numbers in committee what those would be, and then we went to 13.5%, which would give each student about $500, which affected each public school here from Anderson, Barnsdall, Bowery, Hominy, McCord, Osage Hills, Pawhuska, Prue, Shiloh, Skytook, Woodland, Winona. We have those totals. It's coming from tax commission receipts, and which in turn go to the general fund. What I want to do going forward, and I really appreciate Congressman Makers. You know, I know he's for this, but he makes comments of when's the spending going to stop. You know, $74 million for a ranch, $150 million in gaming construction, $2.5 million for a clinic that's going to cost $13 million, $202.5 million for a museum, $580,000 for equipment. You know, the list goes on and on and on and on. what we can do impacting public schools with some assistance, I really believe will help. And Congressman Supranol had mentioned the other day that he supports this, but in another way, and he's going to leave it up to me, hopefully, to come forward at another time. I still want to establish the fund, but right now, I want to work on the accuracy of the numbers in the schools, and I want to work on the funding source and the amount that we're going to do. But I do believe it's time for us as a body to step up at some point, whether it's introduce new legislation for the amounts in a special session, or maybe in the CISO session in the fall. But as we sit here and we just contemplate this, our children, your children, Osage kids, all kids are currently suffering. So what I'd like to do is to get a yes on the intent of yes, we are going to at another time, at another place, support what you're doing, and we'll figure out the funding amount at a later time. And that's where I stand today. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Would anyone else like to speak for or against this bill? Congressman Hamilton.
I'm going to reiterate what I've said in committee. And this is that we currently have 20 funds established right now. And this will be setting up another fund. In this session alone, we have 4 funds being proposed. Once we start a fund, speaking for myself, I'm going to feel obligated to put money into it. If I'm going to vote for a fund, I want it to have money in it. So I think right now, if we vote for this fund, we're going to be putting money into it. And then, just like Congressman Maker said, you know, where's the cap at? Will there be something we'll be doing this every year? I do believe our intergovernmental relations need to be improved. I just think starting a fund right now is probably not the best way. So for myself, I'd be voting no on this.
Thank you, Congressman. Anyone else? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
And I mirror Congressman Hamilton's sentiments on funds, creating more funds. We have some that we don't even know exist. You have the budget analyst count up 20 funds that we've created. Some are utilized, some are not utilized. I supporting our schools within the boundaries of our reservation here. We're mandated to do so, and we do that, maybe not to the extent that we need to. I think that when we do so, it should be a give-and-take relationship between the two intergovernmental bodies, there's an agreement that we give and take. We respect each other in that. In my mind, I'm not sure that this is the way to do that. I don't see the criteria set out in it, such as we have for the scholarship fund, how things actually function or work. I don't know, once we give the monies to a school, if say they're going to choose to buy footballs with it or something that's not going to be applicable to all students. I don't see any language in here to do that, but mainly the reason I'm not going to vote for this is I don't believe we need to create another fund. I would be more friendly toward doing an annual appropriation that if a school's in need of something, they come to us, a member forms an appropriation bill, and we appropriate the money that they need for a specific purpose, and that way we know how that money, we get to make the decision how that money's going to benefit the students within Osage County. So I'm not supportive of creating another fund right now. Thank you.
Congressman Maker.
Okay, this is a really tough one here because, you know, if y'all watch the news, I'm sure you do. I mean, every day all we hear is how terrible and underfunded the public schools in Oklahoma. It's embarrassing. And I don't see how they're making it, you know. I would talk to all the superintendents or the principals, but I could just hear it. You see it. Heard on the news that the state's even going to do away with the science fair. Do the budget cuts. And that means Oklahoma is going to be the only state that will not have the state funding science fair. That's just, how low of our school system, how that hole are they going to go? And, it's almost like the impression that it's like, because at that time, those states basically was the only ones that had any money. The impression did the most part because of the headlight system. Everybody else didn't have them. So it's almost reached to that point, it might seem drastic, but I think if you watch the news, it is drastic. And, like I said before, we all want to do great things for our people. And education is one of them, especially for the children. So I'm going to support this because of the critical situation of our public school system. Many ways it just might be putting a Band-Aid on a bad wound. But I think we need to help this school, especially in Osage County. I'm not saying all statewide, but here in Osage County. Anything we can do to help our school, I think we need to do it. Maybe we got to make some cuts somewhere else. We're going through a lot of money up here. And I think it's a very honorable thing. But, I agree with you. I see both sides. We got creating all these funds, and how are we going to fund them? And how many more are we going to create? We've got a lot of things going on in our tribe and our nation. We all know what's going on. It's no secret. But I will support.
Thank you. Anyone else? Congressman Walker.
Well, I'm disappointed that we're not funding or that we're not voting to pass this bill with the funding mechanism. I thought the use of the tax commission revenue was an appropriate way to do it. It was comparable to the state on how they fund education. I said this the other day, but it's a tax commission receipts for the state are used for roads, bridges, and schools. And anyway, I thought it was a good gesture, responsible gesture on our part. But anyway, we're not. I agree, we've got too many funds. Categorize all of the funds lumped in together, I think that's unfair. We have some funds that we appropriate every year that are successful. And I think this would be one of those examples of a successful fund that needs to be appropriated. I also like the provision in the bill that was changed throughout the committee process that funded schools based on Osage student population. I thought that was fair and equitable, and it eliminated any perception that any favoritism was being granted to the three traditional or the three districts, school districts. Say that quite right, but I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. Again, I think this is a fair and equitable way to distribute the money. We all know that the money is desperately needed by our school systems. It's mandated in the Constitution that we establish intergovernmental relations with our public school system. This is a good step in the right direction, and it's way overdue. I'll definitely be voting yes for this.
Congresswoman Buffalohead.
I'll be voting yes for this. Kind of, I'm at a loss for words because we aren't putting money with this, but this Congress, just a few short months ago voted yes for a $100,000 statue of Claremore, and I don't understand that. a statue of Claremore is great if we have extra money, but now we don't have money to put into our public schools within Osage County. Where are our priorities? Are our priorities our children and the future? What we're funding higher education. Do we expect our Osage County kids to utilize higher education? They're not going to be able to if they don't get a better education where they're at right now, which is our public school system within Osage County boundaries. So I think that now is a time that we really need to be looking at what our priorities are. And I hear people talk all the time about our kids are our future. And they are. They are our future. They're going to be sitting in these seats one day. And we need to take a better look at how we're spending our money. Because in my opinion, we have voted in some things that could have gone to the back burner. And things like this should go to the front. I'll be voting yes.
Anyone else? Seeing none. The question is,
just real quickly, this money that would be going to the public schools is not going to be for footballs. This is going to be for teacher retention. It's going to be for Chromebooks, supplies, science labs, math labs, but it's not going for anything sports related. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. The question is, shall ONCA 1726 pass?
Congressman Hamilton.
No.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernaw.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
No.
Congresswoman Bufflohead.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. ONCA 1726 passes. There is an alternate effective date. Discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, there's no money appropriated to it, so I'm curious as to why we need an alternate effective date on these bills. You know me, I'm just trying to give people time. And our rules say, our law says, hey, quit putting an alternate effective date on everything unless there's some reason. So I'd ask the sponsor to let us know if there's a reason that we need an alternate effective date on this bill. Okay.
Congressman Tuna?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I?
Congressman?
Yes, co-sponsor.
Walker.
I think a better question would be, is the reason on this particular bill, why would there not be an alternate effective date? There's no reason to kick the can down 60 days from now. The fund is established by law. Let's go ahead and start the process of establishing the fund. It's a toss-up. It really doesn't matter. Is there a reason not to pass in the alternate effective date?
What if we go into special session? Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, the policy of the nation is that you allow 60 days for bills to be implemented unless there's some reason by an 8 vote of Congress or to establish an alternate effective date. So just to do it as a course of habit, I think, is a bad suggestion, because what you've seen happen is people have to immediately implement things that they're not ready to do. So what would happen to try to implement this? I don't know. Maybe they put a program number in the accounting department. I don't know. But to me, it doesn't need immediate reaction, so it needs some plan. I mean, I just don't see any reason for it, and I think we ought to honor our Constitution and laws and quit doing this if we don't need to.
Okay, Congresswoman Whitehorn and then Congressman Mason.
In the bill, Section 4 on eligibility requirements, it states that the executive branch shall establish an application and process for the administration of applications submitted for awards from the Intergovernmental Education Fund. Do you know if those applications are established yet? Because if they're not, that the 60-day period gives our government time to do the things that it needs to do to be able to take the applications from our school system. So I will not know against the alternate effective date, because I don't believe they're prepared to do that yet.
Congresswoman Buffalo Head.
Hardly ever vote no against alternate.
Congressman Mason was next. I'm sorry, Andy raised his hand again. I had you next. Congressman Mason.
I just want to say, as a former school administrator, this is a time where you look at your budget for next year and whether or not you're going to have personnel on board. I would think that as this goes on back through executive, that they are aware of that if indeed we have some dollars coming down for the school year coming up 2017-18, that they might be able to use this early up, because most administrators and school districts are looking into next year already, and if they get this message from us, the sooner they get it and things are established kind of in print, the better off they can make those decisions as to what you wanted to have this do. So that's all I'm saying.
Okay, now
can we
talk about a little
bit? Yeah, let's just hope.
It's not an acceptable vote.
No, yes or no. Right. I didn't say that. We weren't voting.
On the alternate effective date. Okay. All those roll call. Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernaw.
Yeah.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
No.
Congresswoman Bufflohead.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
No.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
No.
Passes.
So where do they get an application today?
Congresswoman Edwards, we are still in order. I know we're squeezing tight and comfy back here, but keep order. The alternate effective date passes, and ONCA 1726 is advanced to enrollment. ONCR 1719. Resolution to support the Osage Nation participation in the BIA Office of Justice Services Court Assessment Program. I am the sponsor. I will open. Well, we covered this in committee yesterday. We saw a nice PowerPoint from two outstanding individuals from the Court Assessment Office who gave a good presentation. This is the an opportunity for our tribal courts to participate in this assessment. I supported this because I have heard this brought up since I first came on Congress, and I spoke with Candy Thomas, and I think the courts have been encouraged to tap into this funding, and thus far we haven't. That hasn't happened yet. So there was a conversation with the chief, and he supported moving forward this, and I have since spoken also with the Supreme Court Justice Meredith Drent, who also supports it. And this is just to get them some extra funding. It's an assessment to improve our courts, or to find out that they're doing a great job. It could go either way. They'll be told what they're doing well and how they can improve, and then receive this funding to help them improve. If there is a need. So I would appreciate your support. And that's all. Anyone else like to speak for or against this resolution? Seeing none, I waive my time. The question is, shall ONCR 1719 pass?
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernaw.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Bufflohead?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Maker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes.
OHR 1719 passes and is advanced to enrollment. We are now in motions and notices. Congresswoman Edwards.
The Rules Committee has two rules. One rule that was brought up and did not pass. And I think I asked one of the people that wanted to look at it some more if she would do that and bring that rule back up. There's another rule that I will propose on Monday that the Rules Committee worked on. It will have a committee report on it. You should, yes. Several days ago. And in Rules Today, there are two more. Okay. There were two more, or at least one more rule that was passed today. And I will bring that up on Monday as well. And also there's a request to go in the committee of the whole to discuss whether we should change the number of committee membership. So should I do that now, or do you want me to wait until Monday? I think I was at a request to put on the agenda, wasn't it? So we'll make a request. The discussion is whether we should move the number of committee members down from 4 to 6 to 3 to 5. We've discovered that we have about 49 or 50 places that are available for our membership to sit on committees on. And that means that on average, each person needs to sit on 4 committees and or take a leadership role. So in order to not get spread way too thin, we think it's worth discussing whether we should lower the number of committee members in a committee so that people can sit on maybe 3, but at least on 4. There's more spaces than for each member to sit on 4 of those committees. And we've heard more than once this session that people are just, they've got so much going on in the committee that it's hard for them to find time to do work on the bills and the resolutions and the kind of research that needs to be done, kind of talking to outside people, etc., that is required being part of this Congress. So that's the discussion.
Congressman, Walker. Yes, Congressman Walker.
I'm going to sit next.
You said to let him go, Congressman Walker.
Oh, thank you, Speaker. Well, I think it's worth discussing, but I think it's kind of indicative on how the body feels whenever we set the meeting or the committee sign-up sheets up. Rarely have I seen only 3, and typically on a couple committees there's more than 6. I just think that only 3 members on a committee would not be a suitable representation and provide an opportunity to really get down into some of the complex bills that we've had. I like the 4 to 6 option. Really kind of feel like more than 6 would be too many, but 4 to 6 is an appropriate number for me, so I would prefer to stay with that amount.
Well, it was my suggestion for us to go into committee of the whole versus the committee doing the work that we've been doing for months and months and months at meetings, only to send it to Congress for people to say, I don't like that, but not provide a solution. The committee meetings are noticed. If anyone wants to join us at 8 o'clock in the morning, they're free to do so. I just thought it'd be more productive at this point to do the work in committee, or at least come up with the suggestions and then go into committee of a whole to discuss if you all even want the suggestions before we actually do the work. So there were a lot of things that were talked about this morning, and some of them were major changes and some of them were minor changes, and I just feel like, well, what's the point in making the rule change right here only for it to go to the floor and just be shot down? Like, what? There's no point. So let's just talk about it in committee of the whole on Monday.
Okay, so for today, because we're headed down that road, so we're in motions and notices, and we're starting to have a committee of the whole discussion, so is there a motion or a notice, or a motion to enter committee of the whole?
I thought we were going to do it Monday.
Okay. Actually, I was giving notice that we asked for it to be on the agenda.
Okay. All right, Congressman Walker.
Monday sounds great, but I do have an IFS meeting on Monday. And I just don't want to have an hour-long discussion talking about rule changes that end up replacing valuable time for a committee process. And we could show up at 8 o'clock if it's that important to you.
Yeah.
So
come on.
I'll be disappointed on Monday if it's 11:15 and we're talking about a minor rule change.
I think you ought to meet at 7:30.
Second.
Because I'm not going to be here anyway.
Okay, any more motions or notices? Congressman Walker.
Health and Social Services Committee meets at 1:30 to 2:30. I think I'm going to nominate you.
I've been on rules for 2 years.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Education meets at 1 to 1:30. We were going to have the Education Committee report, but we don't have the Education. We do finally have the Education Committee report, maybe, but none of us have seen it. So I've asked them to come and discuss the implementation of the STAR program, because the word needs to get out on that as soon as possible. It was signed into law this morning, so the topic of discussion in the meeting is going to be a little bit different than what I thought. And now I'm going to need to set a meeting next week because we're not getting to the report today.
Okay. Congressman Shaw?
I have an appropriations committee meeting scheduled today from 2:30 to 4.
Okay. There's nothing else. I would entertain a motion for Monday.
Motion to adjourn until 10 a.m. Monday.
Second.
Discussion? Close tomorrow. So I'll just whisper in there for a second.
You want to hear?
Or
to the ballot, too, if you want to have a lunch with me. I sit on the county board.
Hoping that we can keep
I withdraw my motion.
We can keep this discussion relevant to what kind of guilty cause? What are the considerations of
that? Okay. All right. Briefly, I have two things to discuss. First of all, I have an appointee, Ken Tolchi, to the Shannon. I have an appointee to the Tallgrass LLC. He's coming up from the old, okay. Osage LLC appointee, and that is referred to the Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee. I always forget the name of that. Commerce, Gaming, and Land. And then Jerry Dean Brandstetter assigned to the Government Operations Committee to discuss their appointment. Also, it's been suggested that perhaps we begin, and that's up to you all, if you want to start at an earlier time on Monday for the, there are several bills for general order day 2 for amendments, and then if you want them moved to vote on before, because just keeping in mind that in case other things come out, then we would need to, those would need to be added if there's anything that needs to go out before the 18th at 4:30. So if not, then I'll take your motion back. Congressman Walker.
Well, we're still in discussion. I think I would be in favor of meeting at 9 rather than 10.
Congresswoman Edwards.
I think we should meet at 8.
You do?
Yeah, why not?
On Monday?
Our day starts at 8, so we need the time. Let's get the time.
Okay. Congressman Mason.
I prefer 9.
There's several of us here in the room that have sat where you are. And we noticed, and I noticed, that we get this time, day 13, day 14, those kind of days go by, and we tend to get compressed. And we have a lot of work that yet needs to be finished. And I agree that it would give us a couple more hours of work time if we do come in earlier, or either that or we start staying late. But we got to take care of some business here, and it usually gets compressed, and I don't want us to get in a hurry and make a mistake. But if we just take our time and we add some more time to our day, either up front or at the end, we need to perhaps as a body be thinking about that, because that's fairness to all of the work that's been done. Thank you.
Right, I agree, and I just want everyone to be able to have the ability. Well, you said you have an IFS that day, and again, if you have something that day that you might need to be sent through before the 18th, then that would be that ability. So I just want to allow for time, and then also if you're going to go into Committee of the Whole for rules, just something we should think about, because we have lost a couple of days yesterday, and then we're closed tomorrow. So Congresswoman Edwards.
Move to adjourn until 8:30 on Monday morning.
That's compromise.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed,
sure.
Say no. We are adjourned until Monday morning at 8:30.
Fill her shirt. It's bubbly.
How do I feel?